Well, it's 27 October. It's Wednesday. It's time for the Wednesday CG report. Looking smarter every day. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, I got something a little different to start us off today. This is entitled Conditional Acceptance of Vaccine Mandate. If you're facing getting a vaccine mandate, if you're not religious, or if they won't accept a religious waiver, somebody sent this to me. I don't know if it'll work or not, but it was supposedly from a lawyer. I found a website where it is located, and I'll read it to you, and you can use it as you wish. If you are being forced to vax in order to keep your job, here's a way to handle it. It's called Conditional Acceptance. The secret is to not refuse it. I write with regard to the matter of potential COVID vaccine and my desire to be fully informed and appraised of all facts before going ahead. I'd be most grateful if you could please provide the following information in accordance with statutory legal requirements. 1. Can you please advise the approved legal status of any vaccine and if it is experimental? Now remember, every single vaccine that is being administered in the United States today and probably around the world is experimental. Although the FDA has approved a vaccine, it's never been released in the US. So that's a good place to start right there. 2, can you please provide details and assurances that the vaccine has been fully, independently, and rigorously tested against control groups and the subsequent outcome of those tests? 3, can you please advise the entire list of contents of the vaccine I am to receive and if any are toxic to the body? 4, can you please fully advise of all the adverse reactions associated with this vaccine since its introduction? The answer would be no to that because there's so many it would be impossible to compile them all, and the magnitude of some of them is beyond imagination. We'll see more of them today. 5, can you please confirm that the vaccine you are advocating is not experimental mRNA gene-altering therapy? Keyword there is experimental because they are all at this time. 6, can you please confirm that I will not be under any duress from yourselves as my employers in compliance with the Nuremberg Code? 7, can you please advise me of the likely risk of fatality should I be unfortunate enough to contract COVID-19 and the likelihood of recovery? 8, can you please advise me if I were to experience any adverse reactions, is the manufacturer of the vaccine liable? If the manufacturer isn't liable, will the company I'm currently employed with be responsible and liable as it is their request that I have the vaccine in order to carry on my employment? Once I have received the above information in full and I am satisfied that there is no threat to my health, I will be happy to accept your offer to receive the treatment, but with certain conditions, namely that 1, you confirm in writing that I will suffer no harm. 2, following acceptance of this, the offer must be signed by a fully qualified doctor who will take full legal and financial responsibility for any injuries occurring to myself and or from any interactions by authorized personnel regarding these procedures. And 3, in the event that I should have to decline the offer of vaccination, please confirm that it will not compromise my position and that I will not suffer prejudice and discrimination as a result. I would also advise that my inalienable rights are reserved. So use that as you will. It's just something that was sent to me. It is something that is on the internet, on a site that I found, and it sounds reasonable enough to me that if they can't guarantee your safety, how can they ask you to take that? But we'll go on. From the National Review, an OSHA cover-up feeds vaccine conspiracy theories. Anti-vaccine propaganda and conspiracy theories are not something the government can successfully control, but the government can absolutely make them worse by acting as if it has a bias toward covering up the side effects or adverse reactions to vaccines. OSHA is doing precisely that by announcing on its website that it has suspended reporting requirements that normally would cause employers to report adverse reactions to the vaccination. From the FAQ section of OSHA's website, DOL and OSHA as well as other federal agencies, are working diligently to encourage COVID-19 vaccinations. OSHA does not wish to have any appearance of discouraging workers from receiving COVID-19 vaccination, and also does not wish to disincentivize employers' vaccination efforts. As a result, OSHA will not enforce 29 CFR 1904's recording requirements to require any employers to record worker side effects from COVID-19 vaccination at least through May 2022. We will reevaluate the agency's position at that time to determine the best course of action moving forward. The recording requirements in question are not specific to COVID or to vaccinations in general. The lengthy, highly detailed rules require employers to record and report work-related fatalities, injuries, and illnesses, and they apply to all manner of injury and illness that could potentially be classified as work-related. For example, the rule on occupational exposure to blood or other potentially infectious materials alone runs over 7,500 words and includes detailed requirements for employers to offer hepatitis B vaccinations and information on the hepatitis B vaccination, including information on its efficacy, safety, method of administration, the benefits of being vaccinated, and the vaccine will be offered free of charge. It would be one thing if OSHA decided as a general, ongoing matter that paperwork requirements deterred employers from offering or requiring vaccinations, and that the government therefore should not overload businesses with such requirements. That is an entirely reasonable pro-business, pro-vaccine approach to take. But that is not at all what OSHA has done here, or why it has done it. The rule is not being changed. OSHA is just declining to enforce it for one specific vaccine. This alone is typical of how the administrative state exercises power. Never relinquish power on any general principle, but retain the discretion to be selective in order to play favorites and to keep the citizenry dependent upon official favor. Also, the official explanation says specifically that OSHA's first concern is the appearance of discouraging workers. It says right there in black and white that the federal government is afraid that people won't get the vaccine if the usual rules for reporting side effects and other adverse reactions are followed. We're all familiar with government cover-ups, but normally one does not announce them formally in advance. From Zero Hedge, National Institute of Health scrubs gain-of-function definition from website after Wuhan bombshells. Rand Paul vindicated. In other words, Rand Paul is vindicated in his accusations against Fauci. This paper came out that said that Fauci, in fact, did not tell the truth. And so what did they do? They just deleted the gain-of-function definition from their website so that all of a sudden Fauci is no longer untrue. It's unbelievable. It's black and white, it's right out there, and these people just do it without any compunction at all. LifeSet, Colorado governor suggests children lie and get the jab without consent of parents. Sounds like a good governor to have. Jared Polis, the locust governor of Colorado, locust meaning a Democrat, is telling children to lie to their parents and get vaccinated against COVID-19 without their consent. Polis encouraged Americans everywhere to get the vaccine privately, if they have to, without telling their family members what they are doing. While he initially encouraged people to lie to their spouses, he seemed to indicate that children should be secretly getting the shots as well when he brought up the idea of a parent you live with who doesn't want to get vaccinated. It's important to emphasize this is your decision. You can still privately get vaccinated without your parent or spouse knowing if that keeps the harmony in your family and you're protecting yourself. It doesn't mean you have to share that with those you live with. Big League Politics says Louisiana high school administered COVID vaccine to children without parent consent. East Jefferson High School in Metairie, Louisiana, recently administered the COVID-19 vaccine to children without parental consent, according to a lawsuit filed by the parents of one of the alleged victims. Ochsner Health, the firm that administered the vaccine at the high school, released a statement apologizing for the lack of parental consent and said they would take measures to make sure this would not happen again. Epic Times. Biden administration prepares for mass COVID-19 vaccination of children 5 to 11. The admin has secured enough doses of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine to vaccinate all of the country's 28 million children between 5 and 11 and is prepared to ship the doses across the country to facilitate vaccination efforts. I bet they are. From I24, Israel could start jabbing kids by late November if FDA approves. From Great Britain News, COVID. Senior doctor urges parents to book children in for vaccine during half term. So this is a worldwide effort to vaccinate your kids. From Aaron Siri, Substack.com. Whistleblower. FDA and CDC ignore damning report that over 90% of a hospital's admissions were vaccinated for COVID-19, and no one was reporting this to VAERS. A concerned physician assistant, Deborah Conrad, convinced her hospital to carefully check the COVID-19 vaccination status of every patient admitted to her hospital. The result is shocking. As Ms. Conrad has detailed, her hospital serves a community in which less than 50% of the individuals were vaccinated for COVID-19, but yet, during the same time period, approximately 90% of the individuals admitted to her hospital were documented to have received this vaccine. These patients were admitted for a variety of reasons, including but not limited to COVID-19 infections. Even more troubling is that there were many individuals who were young, many who were presented with unusual or unexpected health events, and many who were admitted months after vaccination. One would think that after an association was identified by a healthcare professional, our health authorities would at least review this finding, right? Sadly, when Ms. Conrad reached out to health authorities herself, she was ignored. My firm then sent a letter to the CDC and the FDA on July 19th, 2021, on Ms. Conrad's behalf. This is a lawyer that's saying this, and they cite the letter. They actually give a copy of the letter in the article. Yet neither agency has responded. Even worse, when doctors came to Ms. Conrad for assistance with filing VAERS report for their patients, the hospital prohibited her from filing these reports. That the CDC and the FDA failed to respond is arguably not surprising. They have been cheerleading this vaccine for months. Admitting almost any harm now would be akin to asking them to turn a gun on themselves. This again highlights the importance of never permitting government coercion and mandates when it comes to medical procedures, and they cite all of their sources in this article. From Red Voice Media, 3 Ohio judges unexpectedly die in 9-day period following vaccine mandate in Cuyahoga County. In the weeks following an imposed mandate by the Cuyahoga County Common Pleas Court that voted to force all courthouse employees to be fully vaccinated by mid-October, 3 Cleveland area judges, 2 from Cuyahoga County Common Pleas Court, have died in a 9-day span under curious circumstances. Now, I thought that can't be. So I checked it out and I did a search to see if 3 different judges actually died from this same court within 9 days. And guess what? From Cleveland 19, court officials said Judge Russo passed away unexpectedly. His cause of death has not been released, and he was 59 years old. From Cleveland.com, longtime Cuyahoga County Common Pleas Court Judge Nancy McConnell dies. She's only 62 years old. A cause of death has not been released. 19 News, Cuyahoga County Judge Larry Jones dies unexpectedly. He also was 59. The court did not announce the circumstances surrounding Jones's death. Now, if they had fallen asleep at the wheel and gotten a crash and died, they would tell you. If they had been run over by somebody, they would have told you. If they got shot by somebody, they would have told you. If they died on the toilet, they would have told you. Something is going on when 3 judges, all within 3 years of the same age of each other, all required to vax, died within 9 days. I think there's something going on, but nothing was released on the circumstances of their death. So we can only speculate. From Moga Z News, Australian actress Mel Stewart suffers stroke after getting the AstraZeneca shot. Mel Stewart, 40, received her first dose of the Oxford-made vaccine in London. 2 weeks later, after Mrs. Stewart received the jab, she woke up with a strange feeling on the right side of her body. As she tried to get out of bed, she collapsed and was rushed to a hospital, where her condition quickly deteriorated as she lost all movement in the right side of her body and her ability to speak. She began having seizures and was taken by ambulance to St. George's Hospital, where neurosurgeons battled to save her life, removing a large part of her skull to reduce the pressure in her brain. The performer ended up in ICU, where she was diagnosed with vaccine-induced thrombocytopenic thrombosis, a rare side effect linked to the AstraZeneca jab. A rare side effect. I've heard that so many times that there's no such thing as a rare side effect with these jabs anymore. From 9 News, Aussie actress who had stroke after COVID-9 jab still fiercely supports vaccination, says her husband. Well, then she's an idiot. From the COVID blog, Shannon Olson, 22-year-old Wisconsin newlywed healthcare worker, says having only 2 seizures a day is a good day in the 10 months since second Pfizer mRNA injection. From the expose, teen dies of heart attack after having COVID-19 vaccine because it was mandatory by his hockey team. A 17-year-old boy in Canada died of a heart attack at home on September 27th, reportedly 2 weeks after he received a COVID-19 injection. Sean Hartman is said to have suffered multiple health problems immediately after the jab, including myocarditis or heart inflammation. He received the COVID jab in order to be able to play hockey in an arena where the shot is required for entry. U.S. researchers have found that boys aged 12 to 15 with no underlying medical conditions are 4 to 6 times more likely to be diagnosed with vaccine-related myocarditis than ending up in the hospital with COVID over a 4-month period. Now, remember, just a while ago, I read you that Biden and Israel and the U.K. are getting ready to vaccinate kids this age, 28 million of them in the United States of America. From the Gateway Pundit, concerned mother wants to air TV ad on Pfizer's dangerous vaccine after daughter is severely and permanently damaged, but Comcast refuses ad at the last minute. 13-year-old Maddie De Garay volunteered for the Pfizer vaccine clinical trials. According to her parents, she volunteered to help, but did not expect that she would suffer significant Pfizer vaccine-related injuries. Maddie's mother wants to warn other parents that the COVID vaccine is not safe, but Comcast pulled the mother's ad telling Maddie's story. Comcast is complicit in the deadly conspiracy, unfortunately. From CFP, police sergeant in ICU 1 day after vaccine. A 19-year-old police veteran is in the ICU after receiving the J&J shot. Fellow officers say they are more fearful than ever over Charlie Baker's October 17th mandate to be vaxxed or face being fired. Several state troopers are concerned, said attorney William Jens, whose Boston law firm was hired to represent a group of state police. This is a highly disturbing incident. Jens said the vax mandate has left troopers with no choice but to be a lab rat and take the Johnson & Johnson single-dose vaccination. From Breitbart, 82% vaccinated Singapore records highest daily coronavirus cases yet. Singapore's government tightened restrictions on in-person dining and social gatherings in the metropolis on September 27th as part of a stated effort to help reduce transmission of the Chinese coronavirus. In the 3 weeks since then, the city state's coronavirus caseload has mushroomed. If you don't know what mushroom means, it means it goes like this and then it goes up like this. That's a mushroom. Think of a nuclear bomb. American thinker, the unvaccinated are looking smarter every day. Okay, it's a long article. I'm not going to read you the article, but go read it, or you just get the point from the title. The unvaccinated are looking smarter every day. From the Epic Times, 185 employees leave Los Alamos Nuclear Weapons Lab due to vaccine mandate. The New Mexico lab that produced the world's first nuclear bomb has lost 185 employees because of a COVID-19 vaccine mandate that took effect on October 22nd, according to a lawsuit, they give the PDF there, filed against the operator of the facility the same day. An additional 153 employees at the LANL were placed on leave without pay or are using vacation pay because they obtained a religious exemption, the lawsuit says. 26 employees were granted medical exemptions. The lab employs nearly 14,000 workers. Two-thirds of all the work at the facility is focused on weapons programs. Nearly one in five of the employees at the lab hold Ph.D. degrees. Triad National Security, LLC, operates the complex as a contractor for the federal government. Approximately 85% of the LANL workforce had been vaccinated as of August 23rd, when management announced a vaccine mandate. According to an internal email, which they cite, the FDA granted full approval for the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine on the same day. Remember, that Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine is not available. Yes, it's approved, but it's not available. A month later, on September 20th, LANL President Thomas Mason said an additional 1,000 employees had been vaccinated. From the Epoch Times, over 12,000 Air Force personnel poised not to meet COVID-19 vaccine mandate deadline. In an update on compliance with the Air Force's COVID-19 vaccine mandate, officials said 3.8% of the force remains unvaccinated as of October 18th. That amounts to approximately 12,100 active duty personnel, down from 13,055 the week prior. Okay, all of these are not going to get the vaccine. If even it gets down to 2% of the Air Force, that is going to significantly harm the U.S. Air Force, and it is significantly harming the Los Alamos Nuclear Weapons Lab. This is an intentional effort to destroy our nation, to destroy our ability to defend our nation, to go forward in this nation. This is an agenda. This is planned, and it is criminal. We'll go on. Epoch Times. Vaccine mandate threatens major trucking disruption, industry insiders say. Here we go again. American truckers don't like taking orders, but the Biden admin has increased pressure on some of them to take the vaccine, willing or unwilling. All through the pandemic, truckers endured hardships to keep America's infrastructure running. They waited in line for hours in sight of bathrooms they were not allowed to use. On the road, some died alone of COVID-19. Now, with supply chains disrupted, Americans need them more than ever. But faced with the prospect of mandated vaccination, many drivers are considering quitting. "I'd fight it," said veteran trucker Mike Widdens, referring to the vaccine mandate. "I think a lot of us will be quitting. Who likes to be forced to do stuff you don't want to do?" Widdens isn't alone in his willingness to leave trucking if he's required to vaccinate. Polls by trucking publications Commercial Carrier Journal and Overdrive indicate that up to 30% of truckers will seriously consider quitting if required to vaccinate. If they quit, the consequences for America may be massive. U.S. Transport estimates that 70% of American freight goes by truck. This is absolutely planned, and they want this to fail. They want this American experiment to fail. From Medium. Now, this is an article that goes back to March 28th of 2018, but I want to read it to you so that you can see what has been going on and what was considered back in March of 2018. Immunization, an entry point for digital identity. Immunization poses a huge opportunity to scale digital identity. In many developing countries, immunization coverage greatly exceeds birth registration rates. According to best available estimates, upward of 95% of children globally receive at least one dose of one vaccine, with 86% of children globally receiving the full three doses recommended of the diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis vaccine, which is commonly used to measure immunization coverage. When a child receives her first vaccine, she receives a paper child health card. In many developing countries, the most common form of identification is not a birth certificate, but this card. The near ubiquity of these documents presents an enormous opportunity. moving from easily lost or damaged paper health cards to an accessible digital form would reduce the burden associated with tracking a child's vaccines and eliminate redundant or unnecessary paperwork. Digital child health cards can improve coverage rates and vaccine compliance by prompting parents to bring their children in for necessary subsequent doses. For health workers, digital identity technology validates a child's past vaccines and may streamline analytics and outreach without adding significant complexity to a health worker's workflow. And for Gavi and its international partners, digital ID technology provides a basis for a system of verifiable proofs and accurate aggregate data that, here it is, interoperates with other identity management systems. In other words, everything's working together under this digital identity system, negating the need for each organization to independently identify beneficiaries. And because immunization is conducted in infancy, providing children with a digital child health card would give them a unique portable digital identity early in life. And as children grow, their digital child health card can be used to access secondary services such as primary school or ease the process of obtaining alternative credentials. Effectively, the child health card becomes, here it is, the first step in establishing a legal, broadly recognized identity. In turn, having a persistent and portable health record uniquely tied to the child will help to increase full immunization coverage rates by prompting follow-up and better targeting the most hard-to-reach children. In order to enable digital identity at scale, we will need to identify and leverage many entry points. Immunization service delivery presents a tremendous opportunity to provide children with a durable, portable, and secure digital identity early in life. Here we go again, enabling access to a wider range of social services, while also improving access to the health interventions all children need and deserve. You deserve this. You deserve to have everything in your life put into a digital identity starting at your birth. It will track everything you do, and it will be interoperable with all kinds of other things that control every single aspect of your life. If that doesn't sound like the book of Revelation from the Word of God, I'm not sure what does. And this article was from 2018. I mean, and all of a sudden, just a short time afterward, all of this stuff starts happening with the COVID pandemic. This is way too much to be coincidental. This had to be planned. From the post-millennial, Florida school district lifts mask mandate after allegation of child abuse surfaces. Little girl with Down syndrome, they were strapping this thing, tying it to her head every day. And then when she would go home, they would take the thing off so that the parents weren't knowing what they were doing to this child. They were abusing this child with this mask. And one day they forgot to take it off of her, and she went home, and the father wasn't very happy about it. From Breitbart, Canada requires vaccine passport for foreign and domestic travel. From Breitbart, COVID for Ava, France considers mandating third jab booster shots for vaccine passport. Third jab booster shots for the passport. It was supposed to be a shot, and then it was two, and now it's three, and it just keeps going, and it keeps going. It'll never end. From Great Britain News, New Zealand sets 90% vaccine target to end lockdowns and reopen. And when they hit 90, they're going to say it has to be 95. And when they get to 95, they're going to say the 5% that won't get it will either get their vaccine or we're going to push them off in a boat into the Pacific Ocean and let them fend for themselves. Mark my words, this is coming. From Fee Stories, states spent at least $90 million on vaccine lotteries, and studies show they accomplished nothing. Diddly. Absolutely nothing. All that money wasted. From Breitbart, we'll close out with a good article today about a very good governor. Ron DeSantis, businesses forcing coronavirus vaccines should be liable for adverse reactions. We want to make sure that individuals in Florida have their livelihoods and their jobs protected. And I think this is something, when we were doing the last legislative session, it would have never occurred to me that we would be in the situation that we are with some of the insanity that's raining down right now, he said, explaining that his admin initially provided some of the strongest coronavirus liability protections for businesses, as that remained a primary concern last year. He did everything he could for those businesses, everything. And what happened? We didn't think these businesses should be getting sued over this, and so we provide probably the strongest COVID liability protection very early on, and we were glad to do it. But I must say, to now see some of those same businesses who are complaining about potential liability turn around and want to fire employees over these injections, I kind of feel like they're stabbing us in the back after we were standing up for them. We're going to be pursuing a number of protections for employees. First of all, if you think about it, if anyone has been forced to do an injection and has an adverse reaction, that business should be liable for any damages. You have to do because that's on them, he said. It wasn't an individual choice. I also think this COVID liability protection that was given, the minute you go and start mandating that, liability protections is going to go by the wayside for each individual business that makes the decision to fire people or to do any of that. And I know some of them have already done that. So we're going to make sure we beef that up. DeSantis also noted that some of those who have been fired are viewed as having been terminated for cause and therefore ineligible for reemployment assistance. We're going to make sure those are not for cause and make sure we provide people a lifeline. But at the end of the day, you shouldn't be discriminated against based on your health decisions. And so we want to provide protection for people. We want to make it clear that in Florida, your right to earn a living is not contingent upon whatever choices you're making in terms of these injections. And I think that's going to go a long way to let people know that we have your back. Good job, Ron DeSantis. He's a great governor. He and a couple other people in this nation have kept this nation from going into complete collapse already. If it wasn't for them, every single person in this country that hadn't had their vaccination would have been lined up and shot by now. That might be over-exaggeration, and it might not be. I'm going to take you to Psalm 19 so that we can close on a happy note today. Psalm 19, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. If you're looking to the world or anything in this world to redeem you or to keep you safe or to be your salvation, you're looking in the wrong place. There is one Redeemer. There is one way to be reconciled to God, and it is through him. It is through Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind. And I would ask you today to take that to heart. And if you've never made a commitment to him, to simply believe that he came and he did what the Bible says he did for you. He lived the perfect life under the law of Moses, God's standard. He gave up that life in exchange for your sins. And he died, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day, proving that he had no sin of his own, and also proving that he is, in fact, God. So I would ask you to receive the gift that God has given us in the person of Jesus Christ. Not worry about this world, but be apprised of what's going on. And as far as vaccines, you know where I stand on them. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your midweek CG report.